All right, what is going on? It is America Unplugged. How's everybody doing? It's been a week. Listen, Don Jeffries is back. Look at him. He was out partying throughout Washington, D.C. last week. He didn't even tell us. He told us he was going to do something else, but we got photos. Somebody sent us of Don Jeffries doing his thing in the club. He's back right here on America Unplugged. And, of course, the usual suspects, the wisest of all the wolves. What's going on? Mr. Tony Atterburn. What's up, sir?
I'm still recovering from watching that TMZ video of Don.
I believe it. Don was losing his mind.
I can't keep up with Don. I can't hang with that.
Me neither. That's why we were here doing America Unplugged. I can't go over there and hang with Don.
Hey, it was my only Christmas party I'll be invited to, I'm sure. So I was amazed I got to that. So I got to go to a party when somebody actually invites me.
Fantastic. Shouts to Kenzie for hanging with us last week. It was dope. Tony, what's up, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, I just got my Anthony Fauci action figure in the mail today. And I'm not saying that I'm going to ship it to a voodoo priestess to use as a doll. I'm not saying that. but it is implied. So,
do you know a voodoo priestess?
I'm going to find one. I think there's a song called Marie Laveau, you know, that song from the 60s where Handsome Jack goes to the swamp and tricks her out of $1 million. You ever heard that song? I'll have to send it
to you. I've never heard it. Send it to me, man. I'd like to.
One of those novelty songs from the 60s and 70s. But I'll find one. I'll look up Marie Laveau.
I got an Anthony Fauci Funko Pop, and I'm not sending it to anybody. It's going to be worth a ton of money one day. I'm leaving it in my closet, and I'm cashing in, damn it. Anyway, Don Jeffries, what is going on? Welcome back to your show. How you doing, sir?
Good. I'm sorry I missed you. It didn't seem like a Saturday without you. But yeah, back and just, you know, trying to deal with all the craziness and doing a lot of interviews for Unborrowed Fame. So I'm making the rounds of a little different podcast. So that's nice to reach out to a whole different audience.
How was Coast to Coast AM?
Good. Of course, it always results in the book ratings going way up. And you hear from people that probably the most gratifying, I got a message from Paul Peterson, who was, on the Donna Reed show. He played Jeff on the Donna Reed show back in the day. And he's the one that formed a minor consideration for all the child stars. And he was telling me he was listening and how much he enjoyed it. Great job. So that was fantastic. that was really cool to hear from somebody like that.
Congratulations on Borrowed Fame. Don Jeffries, go look it up. OK, let's get into it real quick. And there is some stuff to talk about for sure. So I'm going to throw it to you guys. I want to hear your opinion on this, and then I'll give you mine. A court won't stop Texas abortion ban, but, here we go. But they can sue to some capacity. I don't know. Tony, tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I mean, close to 50 years after Roe v. Wade, the conservative movement and the pro-lifers finally may have a victory of some sorts because they went about it in a different way. They use the Ninth and Tenth Amendment in their approach to show state sovereignty over an issue. And I believe in my interpretation of the ruling, it leaves the abortion providers the ability to still sue the state, right? They can still sue the state of Texas. They can still continue that in the lower courts. But the Texas law stands. So the Supreme Court just basically walked away from it. And the reason I think that they did is because they know that they can't override state sovereignty in these complicated issues. That's why it's always been a state's issue with regard to Roe. And they, you know, Ron Paul had a bill called H.R. 300 many years ago when they had, you know, the Republican president, George W. Bush, the Senate and the Congress, and he couldn't get it past the House because what it was a bill saying in the Constitution, and I believe it's I'm not looking at my constitution now, but I believe it's Article 2, Section 3, where the legislative branch can override the federal court, not in its decision, but it's an ability to carry out its decision throughout the state. So it leaves it up to the states to reinterpret the ruling. And Ron Paul couldn't get that through. And he was dumbfounded because the pro-lifers just kept trying to go back to the Supreme Court for the ruling. Now, in this, I think John Roberts put out a warning to the Supreme Court, and he said that this could cause a constitutional crisis. This could be really bad for the court's standing. And he is correct, because I think what's going to happen now, even though this was a non-ruling in and of itself, they didn't tackle the issue. I think that this will bring a cascading effect and a push to stack the Supreme Court.
Wow. All right. Don Jeffries, what are you thinking about this?
Well, you know, I'm writing Hidden History 3 now, and I started a whole section on the judicial review. And I think that, you know, conservatives have made many mistakes, obviously. But one of them, I think, is, you know, first, they realize what a how much an overstepping of bounds there was in Roe versus Wade. Because here you had something, a subject that wasn't, couldn't have even been imagined by the founding fathers. Do you think any of those founding fathers even abortion? They had no concept of that. So obviously there's nothing in the Constitution that would even remotely address it, even in the most indirect way. So for the Supreme Court, obviously supposed to interpret the Constitution, or supposedly, but they overstepped their bounds in such a way here, because that was actually a piece of legislation that came from an unelected group of justices. And once they ingrained that in stone, now it's like a Ten Commandment to the left. So I don't know what would happen if this was, I mean, they're already going apoplectic in Texas, but if this happens all across the country, who knows? Because it's, again, this is how many millions of babies have been aborted, you know, since it began. It's become kind of a birth control thing for a lot of people. And it's a complex issue. You know, it is, because you can't have a society that has as much promiscuous sex as we do. And you know, and especially in people not, you know, especially uneducated young people not using birth control and all that stuff. I mean, it is a complex issue. I don't like to moralize about it, but I think the problem goes back to the judicial review. And the same reason now, if we look at this, it's not just abortion, but anything. And like, you know, the right wanted it to go to the Supreme Court if they think they have an advantage. The left wants it to go to the court if they think they have an advantage. And that's not the way the founders set it up. And I found so many of Thomas Jefferson, you know, my boy, Thomas Jefferson, so many of his writings that was, you know, because John Marshall was the first Supreme Court justice and he just took it on himself. And Jefferson wrote over and over again, this is not supposed to be the role. And he said over and over, this judiciary is going to upset the checks and balances here. The idea is they're all supposed to be, you know, equal and separate but equal. And in the right away, John Marshall and the Supreme Court took that role over, and the legislative has always been the weakest branch. It was the weakest then. It was the weakest during the Civil War when Lincoln became the first imperial president and the executive overstepped the bounds. The legislative has never overstepped its bounds. And if any of the three would, theoretically, it should be that. But so the idea that we always go to the courts, you know, what's the cry from both the left and the right? Let the courts decide. Let's take it to the court. And why should the courts decide? Why aren't you, you know, going to your elected representatives and getting them to represent you? So I think this is a complex subject, but I agree with Tony. This is probably the first victory that the pro-life forces have experienced.
Right.
Really. Yeah. You know, and since 50 some years. So this is amazing. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think the left is going to sit idly by. The left is not like the right. They'll take to the streets. And of course, they'll also, you know, be financed well when they take to the streets, because they'll have an organization that the right doesn't have. So we'll see what happens. I hope that we don't get a lot of burning and looting again out of this.
And let's not forget that the constitutional number of Supreme Court justices is, there isn't one. You could have 30. I mean, there's not a constitutional number for Supreme Court justices. And so what a mistake, you know, the conservative movement, the right, so-called, has placed so much emphasis on getting the right president to select the right Supreme Court justices my entire life. That's a failure. And this really isn't like the Supreme Court ruled in the favor so much of the actual law, you know, to uphold life. They didn't touch it. They just said the states. They went sent it back to Texas. So the acceleration, I think, will continue, because the stacking of the Supreme Court, I thought, was really implied by the Biden victory. I mean, they talked about it. Because of Gorsuch and Amy Comey Barrett and all the rest being nominated, which they're kind of non-entities. Yeah. But the left sees any resistance to the cultural Marxism and the cultural revolution as an absolute enemy, and they will go after that. So I don't think Don is absolutely right. They're well-financed. They're energetic. I mean, if you've ever gotten in between a pro-choice, or, you know, if you ever talked to them about, you know, their virulent, energetic, you know, protest against anything that would halt or even put a damper on the abortion of an unborn child, they are very, very angry at you when you try to do that. And they get really animated, more than I've ever seen any other political force. They are very animated about having that right to terminate their child.
So here's my problem with the entire deal. And I agree with you. It's the first victory that these people have had in a long time. The pro-lifers. Right. And I don't even know how to say that, man. Joel Smith. What's up, Joel Smith? I see you live from Montana. Thank you, buddy. How you doing? Here's the thing. It's a very divisive issue, right? And I feel like, and just to address the left going out in the streets and doing what they do it, and they do it more than the right, but the right does it too. Storm your Capitol. They were out there with guns, okay? You don't see the left out there with guns. You see the right out there with guns, and they were well-funded by the Kochs who funded all of that shit. We can trace it back to their operation in Florida where they funded all of that crap that went on throughout the capitals in the United States. So there is that aspect of it as well. But it's incredibly divisive because while I am not pro-abortion, I am pro-choice. You know, that's not to say that this is a good thing. There's nothing good about this. Right. And it's promoted as if it's good. You know, oh, you can do it. It's fine. No problem. Go get this. This is the most unnatural thing you can do. You know, it has so many adverse reactions on the woman, you know, and they're not this isn't communicated to them, at least not at the level that it should be when they're going to go get this abortion. And it is willy nilly now, like Don said. It's like, yeah, let's just. You know, some people take it seriously, but a lot of people are just like, yeah, let's go get an abortion. Yeah, I got pregnant. Let me go get an abortion. And it should not be that way. But the genie there is out of the bottle, like I say a lot, right? And for the government to step in and tell you that you can't do that, it's a problem, in particular to us when we say our body, our choice for the vaccine. And I know the argument. You know, well, it's not your body. It's not your choice because you have something else living inside you. Actually, it's living inside my body. So it's still my body, my choice, right? I'm looking at it from the point of view of people that don't want to get vaccinated here. We can't have it both ways. You know, we just cannot, in my opinion. And if people want to go ahead and get this, they should be allowed to go ahead and do it if that's what they want to do. You know, even Bill Cooper, I remember back in the day, he said we cannot be a government that doesn't allow this or whatever, because he was starting his own political party. And he said, well, we can't not allow this, even if it's wrong, you know, morally. It's a choice between that person and God, you know, not everybody else, you know, and just because now with this being a thing in Texas, it's not going to stop there. It's going to continue in other places. This is going to grow, and it's going to cause an even further divide in the country. So I'm starting to think that this is by design at this point. And it's an even further divide in the country. And it's cutting down on our rights as Americans, even though a lot of people are going to be for that. They're just going to say, hey, like, yeah, this is great for obvious reasons. But that's going to come back to bite us in the ass like a rattlesnake. And I don't think we're looking ahead. I could be very wrong. I might change my mind tomorrow, but that's the way I feel. What's up, Tom?
Well, I'm most concerned of with, and I'm pro-life unapologetically, but, you know, I look at the issue here is really about culture. You know, we abort about 3,000 unborn children a day, and that's almost exactly the same amount of people that we import through legal mass immigration. I don't think that's an accident. If you go back to 1973, that's the year that the Supreme Court ruled on Roe v. Wade and said it was an issue of privacy. And that's when we started seeing legal abortion in pretty much all 50 states. And since that time, you know, you've seen the decline of the United States, and they've matched the amount of people that we lose through abortion through mass immigration. This is the plan. You talk about a plan. This is on purpose in the division here. But you know, Texas inadvertently maybe stumbled upon a key issue with the Supreme Court. And I'm not so much in favor of new laws, Billy. I'm more concerned with a culture that embraces death on that scale. and we don't address that. I mean, you could create more laws all you wanted, but like I mentioned earlier, there's something about this subject matter. There's something about abortion that really triggers the left or the people that are the globalists, the people that are most ardent supporters of pro-choice. And I'm concerned with that. That's what really bothers me. You know, I see, like, we can disagree on all sorts of issues, but if you really want to animate someone, if you really want to see someone angry and right. have that spirit of rage,
yeah,
talk about being pro-life to a pro-choicer. There's something about that, not having that ability to terminate their offspring and their child, that makes them go nuts. I'm more concerned with that than correct, because you can't legislate your way out of that.
Yeah,
that there's something off about that, and I think that that's programmed by design. I mean, we teach in the universe, that's part of cultural Marxism. But if people step back and just look at what I just said, from the time of Roe until now, we've had a population replacement program. Now that should give you pause. You know, even for the people that are just middle of the road. And I find myself, like what Billy just said, is very rational. And we can have that debate. I mean, I'm pro-life, but I don't think more laws are going to do the trick. Let's put it that way.
All right, now go ahead, bro.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think that we have to look, as you talk about cultural Marxism, whatever you want to call it, it took a lot of indoctrination to get women especially.
Agreed.
If you go, I mean, yes, you had unwanted pregnancies, you had people getting married, you did have illicit sex in the 30s and 40s and 50s, but middle America, for the vast, most of those women, you know, even when I was, I mean, we the sexual revolution, it started, you know, when I was a teenager, but there were still, you know, where if girls messed around too much, they had a really bad reputation and don't want anything to do with them. Now, I guess it doesn't matter. But
it doesn't.
You can't have a situation where you're promoting illicit, you know, premarital sex with women. The guys have always, that was wired into our DNA. Men have always felt that way since they were, you know, knocking women over the head with a club and dragging them back to the cave as cavemen. I mean, that's just, it's instinctual for us. But women had something different. Right. And it took a lot of indoctrination to get them to break those barriers down and say, okay, yeah, I'll get drunk and I'll have sex, even though I don't know the guy. And if I get pregnant, but that's why it's a complex situation, because in those situations, it's, you know, it's obviously not a good situation, no matter how you look at it. But I would like to stress, and no one talks about the morning after pill, which they've had for a long time. This technology has been out there and no one talks about it. I think both sides should concentrate on it. And just say, let's try to get that out there. Instead of, you know, as much contraception you're doing, make the morning pill available, morning after pill, to everyone. Because as I understand it, you take it and it can stop the pregnancy before it develops. And so to me, I think that's the best solution and the best compromise. But you don't see anybody on either side talking about it, because you're not going to, if you outlaw abortions, eventually, yeah, women would just stop having as much sex. Yeah, that's true. That would work probably, but it would take a while. And in the meantime, you'd go back to the back alley abortions that, you know,
my deal.
Right. And that's why, if you look at, you know, I'm writing about Hollywood. If you look at those golden age actresses that I love, you know, the early talkies, look at their history. Very few of them had any biological children. It's very strange. I mean, it's so disproportionate. It's amazing. And you'll see some of them, you know, many of them adopting and things like that. I don't think that's an accident, because I think there was lots of sex going on out in Hollywood, even in those days. And pregnancies resulted, even when the studio paid for them. They had a guy that was specialized in abortions. It was actually married to Luella Parsons, the big columnist out there, the gossip columnist. So unfortunately, and really few of them died, but it messed up their chances, as Tony mentioned, the problems that result. The more abortions you have, the less chance you have to have a successful baby, because your body gets used to doing that instead of it naturally happening. So it can cause all kinds of damage. So it's a complex situation. But I think I'd like to hear somebody else talk about the morning after pill. My sister and I are the only ones that ever talk about it. And I don't know why it's not mentioned. To me, it's a solution, at least until, you know, maybe we can hopefully we can try to get more of a pro-life culture in all its aspects. And I'd like to see that extend to, you know, capital punishment and everything, just pro-life, everything. I believe all life is precious, as my favorite character in The Walking Dead used to say. Nobody else seems to feel that way. I don't know. The guy that was a real bad black guy at first, and then his son died, and then he got this bald guy, this bald guy who ended up getting killed like everybody does in The Walking Dead, but he transformed him and he made him this holy figure. And then he started refusing even to kill zombies. And he just kept walking around saying, all life is precious. So I don't know. I think
he was great. He knew, was it Bushido? I think it was Bushido that he knew.
Yes. Yeah. What
was it? Akito? Akito.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
He was but then they ruined him. They ruined so many things. They ruined him and made him bad again. And I said, nah, I liked it when he was all life is precious. But
yeah, I liked The Walking Dead for a long time. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, I had to stop.
I watched it off.
They just kept killing everybody I liked. It's ridiculous. Or turning him gay. It's ridiculous.
Once they killed Rick Grimes from Up the Road away, yeah. I was like, I don't know if I could do
this. Yeah, that was just stupid.
That was my favorite character. Whenever I grow in my beard, I kind of look like Rick Grimes. Not really, like a Latino Rick Grimes. So I like to think that. Anyway, what's up, Tony? What happened?
Well, this entire debate is about, in my estimation, is about changing minds and changing hearts and not changing laws.
Yeah.
You can change all the laws you want. And I think that in some measure, you have to have a stopgap. I mean, you know, back in the 90s, the big debate was about partial birth abortion. I mean, and you talk about barbaric, and they still do it. I mean, in many, many regions in the United States. And I just, if you know what you talk to an abortion doctor, and I've gone and heard them speak, you know, people that have been abortion doctors and became pro-life, and it's just hideous.
Yeah.
Especially look, you don't even have to be Christian or believe in the Bible. I mean, even the atheist Christopher Hitchens was in many ways pro-life because he considered that a potential citizen, and he didn't think the state or anybody else had the right to terminate them without their consent. Right. And so this is a fundamental issue of about spirit, I think. And, you know, the pro-life movement, you know, and I support that in many ways, but you know, Don and I agree, and I'm glad because this seems to be like their first real victory.
Yeah. You know, I think one point the left has made over the years that has a lot of validity to it is, and I've known so many born againers in my life, and very few of them have walked the walk. They all talk the talk, but there is some truth to the aspect that you only care about it when it's a fetus. After it's born, you don't care about it. There is some aspect of it. So the pro-life forces have to show that they're pro-life for a lot of these abandoned kids and kids that have problems.
Absolutely.
And so they need to be consistent. But of course, the left has to realize that this, you know, where does a woman's right and you know, that other life inside her, where does that begin? How does that not have rights? And I've said for a long time, this is again indicative of the propaganda, because if there was a phenomenon, like if you had some madman out there like aborting puppies or kittens, the same people would be going nuts. Right. Oh my God, that's hard. They'd be horrified because, again, that's part of the indoctrination. They channel, and it's only been successful because they've channeled that maternal instinct out of women and channeled it towards animals, because that maternal instinct is strong. And the only way they were able to get an overwhelming majority of women to be pro-choice is because that maternal instinct has been channeled into other directions, mainly towards cats and dogs. There's a reason why you see so many cat ladies who don't have kids. That maternal instinct is strong, and it has to go somewhere. And I think that's part of the equation.
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's natural. This is natural. What normal now is having an abortion. That is normal, and normal is malleable. Normal can change from one day to the next. It's natural for us to reproduce and have kids. It's natural for women to have kids.
Right.
Now, that being said, the same people that are so gung-ho, you know, and say, hey, you know, there should be no abortion no matter what. They're the same people that are lining up and let's go shoot those people in Afghanistan. You know, so we have to change the mentality here. Right. Like Tone said, it's I would liken it to the vaccine. This is my deal. My deal is this vaccine. Right. And this could be easily used against us, this argument of pro-choice or pro-life when it comes to taking the vaccine. And what we say often is we have to put out enough information, make it a decision based on information, not based on force, not based on laws. You get to choose. You get to choose. So if this vaccine wasn't mandated, you know, by all these governments. If it wasn't mandated, how many people would have taken it? They wouldn't have taken it. They were forced into it. So it's a battle of ideas. And if we can somehow reestablish a value on life, our ideas would rise to the top somehow, and those ideas would come down. That's the way to do it. It's not like Tone said again, it's not passing laws isn't going to help this issue. It's only going to make it worse. That's what's going to happen. You think the ideas are going to go away? No, people are still going to want to go get abortions, and they're going to go get them. It's like passing gun laws. Like, oh, ban the guns. If I want a gun, I'm going to go get one. Ain't no law going to stop me. And I'm going to roll right into a bank or shoot somebody that I want to shoot. And that'll be the end of it. Then I'll go to jail and whatever. But it doesn't change the mentality of things. You can still get that gun just because they said, hey, guns are banned. You can't have this gun. You can still go get them. That's just the way it is. So it's good. The same thing is going to happen with abortion here. They're still going to go get the abortion. They're still going to get the abortion in Texas. It'll just be underground. And then more people will die. How many moms are going to die because of botched abortions? People are just going to be dead. It's going to happen. Or they're going to cross state lines to go get their abortion. You know, it's a really complicated situation. But the government needs to stay the hell out of it, in my opinion. We need to change it if we're going to change it. The government doing this is bad for everyone, and it is going to divide the country even further. It is not a good look. I'm going to let you guys get the last word. What's up, Tom?
I would just ask, you know, since 1973, after Roe v. Wade, are we a better country? Are we a kinder, gentler? Right. Do we have more wisdom? Do we have pause before we fight another war, or are we hyper violent? You know, were there more school shootings before or after Roe v. Wade? Because there was basically none. You know, so it's done something to our culture. And what side you line up on really doesn't matter. I think we can, if you're honest, you can, you know, ask that question, and I think we'll come to the conclusion that something is wrong with our culture. You look at Roe, and it's something that needs to be addressed, you know. And again, the Texas law is not that you can't have an abortion. It's that once a heartbeat is detected, you can't. Now, that's about what, 6 weeks in or so, Don? Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, so, you know, and Don's right. I mean, on the steps of the Supreme Court about 2 weeks ago, they had some young ladies standing up there taking handfuls of so-called, the morning after pill. And laughing about it. And I'm like, well, no one's telling you can't take a morning after pill. this debate is really strange. And like I said, it's the most animating I've ever seen people in politics or in any subject matter. And, you know, you're right, Bill. This does, you know, with the my body, my choice, I think. And I happen to agree that that's a different body. And we can have that argument. But, you know, it really comes down fundamentally to our culture. And what we value, you know, what we hold sacred. And I think for the last 50 years, we have not held life as sacred. And that's we're exactly right. Reaching the edge of being into a dystopic nightmare. You look at Switzerland, gentlemen. Switzerland just made legal a pod that you could get into to terminate your own life. Yeah. An assisted suicide pod.
Yeah.
Now, you think that assisted suicide pod will just be like for like really... you know, terminal Kevorkian style patients? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that'll be people that are like, hey, I lost my job, I got my third divorce, and I got to file bankruptcy, it might be just get time to get in my pod. Mm-hmm. And will that be encouraged? You know, Pat Buchanan wrote years ago in The Death of the West, he talked about Europe and then how they were euthanizing older people. And that was becoming more of a acceptable, like once you become a burden, you know, you become euthanized, or you could have state sponsored euthanasia. He said, once you embrace death through abortion, it embraces you back in older life. That's just what I'll leave you with.
No, I mean, it's not like you're wrong. You know, like that's all correct. Like, I can't argue with that. It's just that the way it's unfolded, it's a trap. It's put us in a corner, in my opinion. Well, it's not a matter of believing in this, or it's just not like the genie's been out of the bottle for a very long time now. There's a lot of people that feel very differently, and I don't think it's the role of any government to be able to step in and tell you, because once that's established, it's a slippery slope, and we already know that. And I feel that that's why we're being vaccinated at this point. Like, I mean, man, I feel that's why they're mandating vaccines. Like, I mean, and I think we sound extremely hypocritical, our side, saying my body, my choice. Yeah, but you can't do that. You know, I just it doesn't work in my brain. Even though you can make the argument that that is a different body, it's still in somebody else's body. You know what I mean? It's like a body growing in mine, you know? And like I said, I am not pro-abortion. I'm not. I'd rather it go away. But it's not my choice. That's somebody else's choice. And like Don said, that it's, I see it every freaking day. They don't give a damn about those kids once they're born. You wanna go get a kid from the system? I have people personally in my life that have been in that system, very close to me. It's not a good look. Not a good look. So there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. And it's a very, very complicated issue. I get it. Don, what's up?
Yeah, no, and that's what Tony talked about is that this really is a cultural thing, and Pat Buchanan certainly tried to give us a warning about that, and nobody listened to him. But abortion is probably the first issue where it really dramatically showed the cultural divide that's coming up, and now it's clearly delineated. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but the vast majority of women are pro-choice. I don't know what the stats are, but that's what we have to fight. Cause I think probably the majority of men are still pro-life. I think, I don't know what the polls show, but that was the first, again, this is gradualism. It's the frog boiling in the pot. Slowly you go from there. And it was not that big a step. When we talked about, Tony was right about partial birth abortion in the 90s. You should have been able to make a stand there. But that the indoctrination was already so strong a generation or two in that, you're describing what's going on. You're telling it what they do, tearing the legs off, all the horrible things that they do in this. And it still doesn't. In fact, that feeling, that pro-choice mantra is so strong in women's hearts. The paternal instinct has been crushed so much that they're willing. They know that. And again, if they saw that happening to the fetus of a puppy or a kitten, they would be marching and going crazy and want to fight you to the death.
It's true.
Because they don't care about human life. And there's many things. Euthanasia, Tony mentioned, is actually right. Dr. Kevorkian was really popular. They couldn't convict him. And he was a serial killer, basically, with a medical license. He was killing people that had, MS and very dubious things. They were not terminally ill. And even at that time in the 90s, or whatever it was, 80s, 90s, the majority of Americans were supporting it. That side was already there. And it brings up to what my point I've made many times is we don't have a single foundational principle in America that we can agree on. If you can't agree on that this is or isn't life, if you have, majority of women that are denying that that's a life inside them, they give it the term fetus and it makes them feel, better about it, I guess. I don't want to go into it, but in my generation, I had experience in this area. So I feel kind of hypocritical when I was young, and almost everybody I knew did. So I feel kind of like a hypocrite, but at that time, we didn't think about it. Right. It never occurred to me that there was a heartbeat or formed or anything like that. It was always very early on. And so if we'd been educated, a Silent Scream and those kind of films have been out there, I don't think at that time, because we could have been reached more at that time, especially women. But now it's beyond that. I talked about it before. There's been a guy at, I think it's Princeton or what. He's been there for a long time. I started writing about it 15, 20 years ago. There's been a guy openly advocating afterbirth abortion at an Ivy League university for all that time. Now it's become in the mainstream. So it's a hop, skip, and a jump, because they're saying it's not viable. So, once you give ground on, a partial birth abortion and all that, the real late terms, it's not much of a stretch, is it, to go to afterbirth? Well, the baby's not viable yet. Mm-hmm. And again, what I resent as a man is that, birth, well, of course, now they're saying, the women say that a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And that's their attitude in feminism. You're irrelevant, and it's supposed to be together. Without the man, the birth can't happen.
Of course.
But they have, we have no say in it. And we don't, so if it happens, if they go into afterbirth abortion, father's not going to have it. Say, just again, as you're seeing these other cultural issues, this madness is continuing. So now, what do you have in all the cases of this child abuse where children are being having their sex converted at 3, 4, 5 years old? Right. To almost every case, it's the mother pushing it. The fathers are fighting it, and you know they're not winning in court really half the time. So, but this is all part of the same kind of cultural debris that's happening. And you know, you guys mentioned euthanasia. You look at the movie Logan's Run and some of these science fiction movies. Eventually, it's going to get to the point that they have no. Well, you know, that's what euthanasia is all about. You don't serve any purpose. You know, come on. What are you? You're 70, 80 years old. You have debilitating illnesses. You know, why should the state support you, even though they're not supporting us at all? But so, you know, just go into the Logan's Run, you know, the Logan's Run place, and, you know, we'll just take you up into wherever you're going. We'll just eliminate you. So it's part of abortion is front and center in our pro-death culture. Bill Maher said it best. I'm pro-death. Well, yeah, you are. And so is almost everybody else pushing this. They do not have any respect for life. Like, so the opposite of the character on The Walking Dead, all life is precious. They don't think any life is precious.
No, those are a lot of really good points. And the one that stuck out the most is the slippery slope one, because I used it. But you can use it on the other side, too. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. You know, that's another thing we need to take into account, because once you let they're already asking for it. Right. It's just a mess. It is a mess. And maybe this is why. And I believe this story to be. You know, more like metaphorical than anything else, but this is why I believe we weren't ready to eat from the tree of good and evil. We were not ready, because this is what we're doing now. We're doing nonsense like this, and there's a, you know, life is so devalued. You know, it's just not a good situation. It's not, and we have to try to sort it out with what we have. Like, these are the cards we were dealt. Let's try to make something of it, you know. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, it's just not a good look either way. And that's why I hate talking about this. Ultimately, I just don't like talking about it, because I don't know. I just have no idea. And I've had experience in this realm as well when I was a kid. And I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. He just told me, yeah, this is, and I trusted, and that was it, and that was the end of it. I know Jack, you know, and that's something that stays with you. It doesn't go away,
right?
At least not for me. You know, like, when, oh man, I should have done this, I should have done that. Why didn't I think of, you know, whatever? Like,
yeah, you could ask, you know, conservatives and pro-lifers, and I would agree to this. You know, if you could end abortion tomorrow by also abolishing the death penalty and making sure that every child born in this country receives a social safety net for their entire lives, that they can never fall into poverty, they could never get trapped into, you know, a world of drugs or anything else like that, that they had hope, and that you could also had to give up and abandon bombing people indiscriminately in the Middle East, would they give it all up to save the babies and to be pro-life? And I would, you know, but that would mean consistency. And until we're consistent across the board, this isn't going to be solved through law. Although I do support, you know, rational pushes against, you know, the rabid pro-abortion culture, because you can't really compromise with the most virulent of the opposition there. You can't compromise with them, because there's something animating them that I can't really put my finger on.
No, and what you said about that, would the conservatives agree to that? I don't think the left would agree to that. No more abortions, but any baby born has a social safety net, is protected. I don't think, because it bottom line is, it comes down, it's my body, and that's all that matters. And if I decide I want to do this, and so I think both sides, you know, have a lot to answer for there. But I think that's a great idea you came up with. But I don't know that either side would agree to it. But I definitely don't think the most radical left would.
Joel Smith in the chat, thank you for the tip. We appreciate it. Also, I'd never advise an abortion to anyone, he says. I just don't want the state involved, and abortions will just go underground, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I think you're absolutely right, actually. That's exactly what's going to happen. And time will prove that. You will see that. This is not a far stretch. You know, you don't need a crystal ball to see this happening. It's going to happen. It's just the way it is. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something else, less depressing, which probably is more depressing. I don't fucking know anymore. Okay, what is this? What do we want to discuss? Tone, you brought something up that everybody's tired. Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah, there's a headline up on Drudge. Let's see if I make sure I get the headline correct. It's energy crisis. 3 in 5 Americans more exhausted now than ever in their lives. This is absolutely true, and I'm surprised it's only 3 in 5. Because I've been experiencing this, and you know, you and I talk about this all the time, Billy. Something about this timeline, something about the environment, the energy in it, the whatever you want to call it, the universe itself, it's draining me, draining my energy, draining people I know around me. And I get less done, because it says in the article about 65% of the people surveyed said about 1 p.m. they're just toast. And that's what I've gotten me, right? About 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. and this is just like a normal day, I just start to decline, and I have to just really be disciplined to return calls and emails. And I mean, you have to, and it, by the time that the, you know, afternoon rolls around, I'm done. Yeah. And so, and this is something new. This is only started happening really around 2020.
You know what? You're not kidding, man. I feel the same way. And it started happening most recently, 2020. I don't know if COVID had anything to do with it. Like, I don't even know if I really had COVID. I had something, and I became lethargic for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. But I don't, it's hard. Like, you just get tired. But I hear this from so many people also. You know, like, this entire experience has been so eye-opening for me, because people are, you get to see the real, you get to see who people really are, you know, and who's down for you, who's not down for you, and who's willing to do certain things, who's going to stand by their principles, all of this, you see this, right? And so many people told me, I don't want to take this vaccine. So many of them. And I wouldn't have known that otherwise. You know, they were like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. A lot of people still haven't done it. Some people did it because they were forced to. But other people are still telling me, they're like, listen, these are the main things that I'm hearing. They know people who have heart attacks left and right. And they're so tired. Everyone is tired. Like, I am so tired. I don't want to do this. I don't. In my cohort in school, everyone's tired. I thought it was just me that I was like, you know what, man, this isn't for me. I can't do this anymore. Everybody feels the exact same way. Everybody is tired. This isn't sensational. I've experienced this in my own life. So I feel that way. Don, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I've never slept well. So, you know, I'm not off here and there. I've never noticed anything different in my personal life. But I think people are in general stressed out. They're beaten down by everything all around them. It's not, you know, you go back, I guess, you know, 60, 70 years ago, and with the pace of life was much different, much slower. You didn't have all these financial pressures. You know, back then, if you had a job, you were pretty much set. Now people, and especially in things like, you know, something about getting any kind of illness, you have to be scared. Maybe it's going to be financial ruin, even if you have insurance. So there's a lot of pressure out there. And people, you know, constantly getting fear porn for the news, especially since this pandemic came. So they're getting scared out of their wits over everything all the time. Rules and regulation, authoritarianism everywhere. They're not sure what they can do. You have cops with the policing for profits. So you have to, you know, watch around any corner for them. So there's a lot more stress than there used to be. So I think when you're stressed out enough, maybe, you know, at some point, if you're just not doing it, I mean, I nod out a lot of times when I'm writing now in the afternoon, but that's kind of been the case for a while because I don't sleep well at night. But so I think a lot of times maybe you're on key and, you know, up and everything, maybe you just run down. But I don't know. I think we're, you know, overstressed, obviously. I'm constantly searching for a natural tranquilizer. I haven't found one that works yet, but that's what I need.
It's CBD, Don.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. You CBD oil. Yes.
That's the next care package I'm sending. I'm going to send you some Charlotte's Web.
I got some CBD shampoo. I don't know.
Oh, well, I love CBD. The high grade stuff. And I mean, I use copious amounts of it, but I don't think that the tiredness is psychological so much as it is environmental now. And the reason I say that is I look above me in the skies And there are such things as chemtrails. There is geoengineering going on. The chemicals that are put into our environment are damaging us. And it's in the food supply. It's in the water. It's in everything. So you know, you have to protect yourself. I take things like NACE and iodine. I try to drink distilled water as much as I can, purified water. And I go to the gym. I own a gym. I go to the gym and I still, you know, but that afternoon I start feeling tired. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that's, I think it's a trend that's going to get worse. And people are going to have to figure out ways to adapt and overcome, because the, it's not like we're going to have less stress. I mean, yesterday I talked about the geopolitical situation in our world, regardless of our internal strife with vaccine mandates and dystopia and the Great Reset. There's also the chance of World War III, which I don't take lightly, but you know, there's a lot of psychopathic people at the top that would love to see that, and they're pushing for it. And so we have many, many factors in front of us that, and look, it's one of those depressing shows. Sorry about that, Billy. We took on, abortion. We're ending with World War III. But at least I got my Anthony Fauci action figure. And,
right. Morgan on The Walking Dead. Joel is firing on all cylinders. Morgan was the first, the first person, right, along with Rick.
Right. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. In the first, you know, that first season of The Walking Dead,
really good.
I think was one of the best seasons of television ever created, man. Yeah, it was so good. I remember just my son was sick, my firstborn, and it was late at night. He kept me up till 3 a.m. and I would see the billboards on the subway for The Walking Dead, and I was like, oh man, maybe I want to see that, but it's another zombie show. It's going to be awful. I don't know. And I had nothing to do. And I sat there and I turned on Netflix and started watching it, because I couldn't go to bed because my son was not, you know, not going to sleep. He was screaming and yelling and I had to keep holding him. So I started watching The Walking Dead. And that first episode, I was like, oh my God. And I remember my wife just kept passing by left and right. And she was like, what are you looking at? I'm like, I'm watching The Walking Dead. And she's like, oh, come on. This is stupid. Why are you doing that? And she kept coming. She's like, what's wrong with him? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to watch. I'm like, sit down and watch with me. And she's like, no, I'm not watching that. She's like, but what happened to him? Why is he alone? What's going on? I'm like, sit down. And then we started watching The Walking Dead forever. Like, I don't know how many, 7, 8 seasons until I stopped. And I heard it's gotten better. So I want to go back and watch again. But who knows? I think I'm too far behind. But those are some, that first season, 6 episodes, it was amazing. Like, it was just incredible. And season 2 and season 3 were great too. But the first season is my favorite. Tone, you ever watch?
Absolutely. Yeah, I stopped watching, though. It just the internal story. I'm like, why don't you do the end of the world and the zombies? And is there a greater picture? I kind of got lost in them having their civil wars and stuff. I just, you know, and after Rick Grimes, you know, it's gone. I'm not going to watch anymore.
Yeah, I always remember, like, who are you? He's like, my name is Rick Grimes from up the road a ways. And I always thought that was cool. I had never heard that before. So I say that sometimes when people ask me who I am. Like, I'm Billy Ray from Up the Road a Ways. Like, what does that mean? Don't worry about it. And we just keep on moving. But ultimately, man, because of that show, I've adopted a new philosophy in my life. Okay. Like, and I've mentioned it before, but it started in corporate America. And I'm like, if you're going to throw me under the bus for this, what are you going to do during a zombie apocalypse? Are you really my friend? And this is how I judge my friends now, moving forward. Will you be with me during a zombie apocalypse? Will you not let me get eaten by a zombie? And I know that sounds crazy, but it's the ultimate like litmus test right there. Like, I mean, it right up to the top. Like, that's what it is. If that person will not let you get eaten by a zombie, he is your friend or she is your friend. Otherwise, they're not your friends. They're something else. That's just the way it is. All right, listen, it's coming close. It's time to go, actually. And we had more stuff to talk about, but we'll carry it over to next week. Don, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Substack at DonaldJeffries.media. My blog is DonaldJeffries.news. I'm doing lots of interviews, so if you follow me on social media, you will be I'll direct you to my latest interview. I'm doing a lot of interviews for On Bar and Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World, which is just out, and that's my main focus now. But you can find lots of stuff out there. Just follow me on social media or doing a search.
All right, Tony Atterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. Tell the people where they can find you, buddy.
I've got a radio show called The Atterburn Radio Transmission, and you can find that anywhere podcasts are found. I also got picked up by Aftermath.fm on Fridays to open up for the great Don Jeffries once again. So you can find me over on Aftermath.fm. Of course, wisewolf.gold is my business, precious metals, cryptocurrencies, and we are the sponsor of this fine program, America Unplugged.
Fantastic. This is America Unplugged. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, the Infinite Fringe over on Apple Podcasts. It's going to be Vinny Eastwood. We're going to drop that in a second. Wayne McCroy. Also, we're going to drop that. I feel like I'm going to still have a David Icke episode. I'll probably drop that by the end of the year. So go tune in and subscribe. Occult Rejects before that. That's up already. Go check that. Also, Aftermath.fm at 9 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, prime time with Billy Ray Valentine. Go check that. And, of course, right here on America Unplugged, the place to be. Be very, very quiet. We're hunting for rabbits. I got to see some Looney Tunes while I was chilling at my mom's house. It was dope. Been a long time. All right. Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take it easy, man.